Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit betterhelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
This might just be the year for Derek Carr because of how everything else is breaking out in the quarterback realm, quarterback chessboard. And it remains to be seen about Aaron Rodgers. It's interesting, though, because I asked you last week on Twitter and Facebook, just a simple post. It wasn't a poll or anything like that. But I asked you if you would rather have Derek or Aaron, all factors considered. So the money, the investment in terms of years, the ability, certainly the personality, and by that I mean how they relate to the media, the fans, but also their off-field persona, off-field drama or lack thereof. And many of you, now I don't think this is the case inside the NFL, but many of you as fans said you'd rather not deal with Aaron Rodgers. I would say it was probably 2/3 of those of you who responded, and we got tons of answers, indicated that you'd rather deal with Derek Carr. You'd rather have Derek Carr, even if it meant that you were taking a step back in terms of ability. And Derek Carr is a great quarterback. He's an above average QB. Think about the nonstop shifting sands underneath his feet in his 9 years with the Raiders. But also the offense was not the problem with the Raiders. It's not been the problem with the Raiders. Their defense has been abysmal, regardless of who's in charge and what kind of changes they've made. Their defense has been a bottom feeder for a good portion of these last 9 years. So I maybe have a higher opinion of Derek Carr even than some of you do. But I still say, if what you want to do is win now, and you feel like you have a team where, and you're a quarterback away is not necessarily fair because you still have to play well. Things have to come together. Isn't that exactly what was said about the Indianapolis Colts last season? And we know how that turned out. Their offensive line seemingly disappeared. So you're never just a quarterback away because you're basing that on history. Even if it's recent history, very little remains the same from 1 year to the next, even with some of the best teams. Now, I'm not telling you you can't win with different personnel or with big changes moving forward. The Chiefs are a perfect example of that. Their secondary was a lot of rookies and young players, and their receiving core, really, their offensive weapons outside of Travis Kelce. Mecole Hardman was injured a good portion of the season, but even he hadn't been with the team going back, right? So you're talking about a bunch of first-year guys, either actual first-year in the NFL or first-year with the Chiefs. And yet, somehow, they made it work. So nothing ever stays the same. So obviously, when we're talking about fitting a quarterback in, you're looking at the most recent sample, and it doesn't always stay that way. But this could be the year for Derek Carr because of the lack of other options. Again, if you think that Aaron Rodgers, like me, if you think Aaron Rodgers is going to end up staying in Green Bay. Now, Marco pointed out there are a lot of reports that indicate the Packers are done with Rodgers. But see, every time I think that, or every time I hear that, I still don't think the majority of teams in the league care as much about the outside perception or the quote-unquote drama or whether or not he's doing interviews once a week on national radio. If a team is winning, that's what they care about. Now, Marco made a good point that they're running out of time to really, truly evaluate Jordan Love because he's a first round draft pick. Remember, they moved up to get him. He is a first round draft pick, which means they do have the option of a fifth year. But the salary in that fifth year really escalates for a guy who's under his rookie contract. That's the trade-off. That's how the NFL collective bargaining agreement is written out. Yes, if you are a first-round draft pick, you could end up, regardless of situation, you don't have any control over it, you could end up with one team for the first 5 years of your career. And in Jordan Love's case, don't you think he'd like to play somewhere? It was the same case with Jimmy Garoppolo. He started a few games when Brady was suspended, but for the most part, he was backup. And the Patriots knew, now he wasn't a first round draft pick, but the Patriots knew they were going to lose him, so they ended up trading him to the Niners. He wasn't going to stay and take less money to be Brady's backup. And given the option, Jordan Love probably wouldn't stay to be Aaron Rodgers' backup either. But he's a first round draft pick, so the Packers control his rights through 5 years if they choose to pick up the option. But the trade-off is he'll make a lot more money in year five. They kind of have to figure out what they have with him. But teams inside the league or internally, they're less conscious or less concerned about chatter off-field. As long as a guy's not getting arrested, as long as a guy's not failing a drug test or otherwise getting into real trouble. You may not like Aaron Rodgers anymore. You may think he's a goofball. Whatever. As long as he can play football. There are a lot of characters in the NFL. There are a lot of characters in pro sports. You know as well as I do that if a guy can win or help you win, a lot of stuff gets overlooked. And he's not doing anything wrong. He's just different. He has an axe to grind against anyone who believes that he or she is inside Rodgers' circle.
Okay.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So we're asking you to rank the QB options. I think I'm going Derek Carr, mostly again, because I don't know that Rodgers is available. But I think you can get Derek Carr, who's got a ton of experience, who's willing to go in and give you 110%. He's going to give you all of him. He's passionate about winning. We know he's a very strong leader. He's liked in the locker room, and he can fling the football. There are teams out there that have weapons that they can put around him. He's going to work hard to get to know those people. He's going to work hard to find a rhythm, find a groove. It wasn't the right fit with Josh McDaniels, and that's fine. But there are teams where it will be the right fit. And I don't think he's a guy that has a steep learning curve in going to a new team. Honestly, that's been his entire career, it feels like. So who would you take? Who would you put as the top three options? Maybe it is Bryce Young. If you feel like you can get up to the top of the draft, that requires making an investment of a different sort. Now, we did find out on Monday that CJ Stroud will throw at the NFL scouting combine. Now, that doesn't come up until next weekend. Remember, this is all made for TV stuff now, and it's very, very much media friendly. Bryce Young will not, though. He will wait for Alabama's Pro Day, which comes up not quite a month from now, but later in March. He will go through his medicals. He'll get measured. And you'll get the same with Anthony Richardson and Will Levis. But we don't know yet, other than Stroud. Stroud will throw. Don't know yet about drills. So there's a, these are the four quarterbacks who are expected to be first rounders. And maybe all in the top 15, again, based on who's picking where. So if you would rather have a top draft pick, less money to be sure, but also you'd have to give up a bunch to get to the point where you could select one of these guys, I think I'm putting Derek Carr at the top, all things being equal. And I honestly feel like Carson Wentz is still an option, though maybe not as a starter, at least not one who's going to get paid a lot. We're looking at a much cheaper deal if he finds one. But there are teams out there that don't have as much money under their salary cap. I mean, the Buccaneers are a bit of a disaster at salary cap. He's a stopgap, to be sure. It's so crazy, too, because this time last year, we were just finding out about Jimmy Garoppolo's injury. And he was the top name. It's not just, well, he was the top name once Rodgers was staying and once Russell Wilson got traded to Denver. So that happened relatively quickly. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, but we found out he has an injury. And we now know that there were multiple teams that were interested, but then ended up getting chased off because of his injury. Was also the case with Baker Mayfield, though that one played out much differently. He was supposed to stay in Cleveland, and then when he wasn't staying in Cleveland, well, then the injury was a hindrance. I didn't think it could get any nuttier than last year, but this one's more of a slow burn. Almost like we're about to be ambushed by QB moves. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm not exactly sure what this post on our Facebook page means. You can interpret, I guess, however you like. Is Chase Purdy available? Chase Purdy. I mean, I get names wrong. But should we assume he's talking about someone named Chase or someone named Purdy?
None of that, man.
Is that, that can't possibly be autocorrect either. Brock to Chase doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm going to just leave that question for someone else to answer. So on our Facebook page or on Twitter, mine is A-Law Radio. And then you can also find our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. On Monday afternoon, and this is, I'm bringing it up because it's on my Twitter. On Monday afternoon, I was shaking rugs. So I was outside shaking rugs because I was going to throw them in the washer. Such a mundane task and yet so important when you have pets especially. But these are bathroom rugs, so they need to be washed. And Penny followed me out the door. So I have one of those storm doors that's on a, what's that? I don't know what that mechanism is that causes it not to slam. But that, so it shuts slowly so as not to slam because it's got glass at the top. And Penny, a lot of times, will take the opportunity to sneak out before the door closes. Every now and then she gets caught, which I try not to laugh. It doesn't slam hard or anything, but so she sneaks out behind me as I'm walking out with the rugs, and I'm shaking the rugs, and the dog cops a squat on my front sidewalk, and I could not get her inside. She would not come inside. I tried 3-4 times, so I finally just went back inside and did what it needed to do. Now, she's not going to go anywhere. Every now and then, if a dog walks by right in front of our yard, she might get up and maybe follow a few steps. But she's kind of old to even, it's hard for her to get up and down now. And so she just plopped down, and she was out there for 45 minutes. She knew there was snow coming. She was sniffing the snow on the wind. The wind was blowing, and actually the pictures up on my Twitter account. The direction she's facing is where the wind was coming from.
It gives you that tingle.
And so whenever I looked at her, I could see her nose was twitching because she was checking out what she could smell in the wind. She was checking out the neighborhood based on the wind. But yeah, she wouldn't come inside. She loves, loves, loves the cold. She'd been panting inside, even though it was only 64 degrees inside. And she was sitting outside just loving the wind, loving the cold, and waiting for the snow. She knows. The dog always knows. Let's talk to Eric, who's in Pittsburgh. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, how's it going today?
It's fine. Thank you.
So why are we talking about Aaron Rodgers being this great or this ultimate quarterback when he has worse numbers than my quarterback is Ben Roethlisberger? You know, if this was last year and Rodgers was available, I still would have went after Derek Carr when Roethlisberger retired, a better quarterback with a less cap hit. You know, Rodgers is going to come in with a circus and charge you a fortune in cap hit. Doesn't make any sense to me why we put this guy on a pedestal.
Well, I'm not sure what pedestal you're referring to. Also, Ben Roethlisberger is not available right now, so that would be one reason why people are not talking about him versus Aaron Rodgers. I'm not sure what circus you mean either. Rodgers doesn't bring an entourage. I get that he does national interviews and he makes his thoughts known, but it's really just more goofy stuff. I'm not sure what you mean by a circus. Either way, it's a matter of opinion, right? Who's the better quarterback? But the numbers would indicate, whatever number or metric you want to use to evaluate, the numbers would still indicate, not to mention the four MVP awards, would still indicate that he's a better quarterback than Derek Carr. So that would be why people are still talking about him.
The numbers aren't there. Realistically, if you look at the numbers besides the four MVP awards.
Oh, besides those, yes. Yeah, let's just take those 4 years out. How do you do that? How do you evaluate a quarterback and just, do you do that with Peyton Manning? He's not that great because if you take out the five MVP years, he wasn't that impressive?
Peyton Manning still had stats. Roethlisberger's stats aren't up there with the greats.
We're not talking about Roethlisberger. We're talking about Rodgers.
I meant Rodgers. Rodgers' numbers aren't up there with the greats. They're really not.
Which numbers are we referring to?
Touchdowns, passing yards, they're less than even Roethlisberger. That's what the complaint's been here in Pittsburgh for all year, because Roethlisberger got no credit.
For what?
You know, and that's what
he's a first ballot Hall of Fame. We weren't talking about Ben this year because he didn't play. But
right.
the fact that Ben is a first ballot Hall of Famer speaks for itself. Are we still supposed to be talking about him even though he's retired?
No, that's the quarterback I would compare him to. But most national media don't even compare Roethlisberger being one of the greats, but yet we put Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so this is not really about Rodgers. This is about Roethlisberger.
No, this is definitely about Rodgers.
Ben is retired. He's retired. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. When we've got him coming up in a couple of years in Canton, there'll be plenty of talk about him. We all know what Roethlisberger did, but I don't know why we would be talking about him right now. It just sounds like you have a chip on your shoulder. I don't really talk that much about any quarterback that's retired in terms of his numbers, but you sound very biased and like you have an axe to grind against Aaron Rodgers if you don't believe he is worthy of the accolades or worthy of teams that would go after him. Whether or not he's got the same number of passing yards in his career as Ben Roethlisberger, or whether or not he's got the same number of touchdowns, very often that has to do with system. I mean, how many times over the last couple of years were people freaking out over the fact, and this is in Pittsburgh, that the Steelers were far too reliant on Ben's arm because he was throwing 87 times a game? That's not necessarily a formula for success, and it's why the Steelers did not end up challenging for a Super Bowl the last couple years. And then he was injured in his third to last year, if I remember the progression correctly. Chucking the ball 57 times a game, that's what Tom Brady did this year, right? That's not necessarily a recipe for success. Roethlisberger's got two Super Bowl rings. He was an All-Pro. He's a Pro Bowler. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers continues to play. He's in his late 30s, as was Ben. He's already got more touchdown passes and more passing yards than Ben Roethlisberger. He will also be a first ballot Hall of Famer, and he has four MVPs. Other than the Super Bowl metric, Eric, I'm not sure how the two things are comparable. And they were both, they're both first ballot Hall of Famers. Rodgers is still playing. Ben is doing a podcast and enjoying his time with his family. And the end of his career didn't go well. So whatever it is that you want to say about Ben, again, he's a Hall of Famer, no longer playing. The end of his career was not, it was not the best. It was not indicative of the rest of his career. But yes, by all means, point to the national media as somehow having an axe to grind with Ben Roethlisberger. All right, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Manny Machado gets an extension a few years after he had an extension. But this is a message, not only internally but externally, about the San Diego Padres. And then we'll take your QB rankings for what's available right now. Maybe you can convince Big Ben to come out of retirement. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Here it comes on 2-2, and Manny swings, hits it in the air, deep to left center field. This one way back. Good to go. On the ninth pitch of the at-bat, Manny Machado extends the lead. 8-4 San Diego here in the seventh, his third home run of the postseason.
I mean, this crowd was unbelievable. I mean, it was fun. It was a lot of years waiting in the mix, and you know, hopefully they come back tomorrow and bring you even more energy that, you know, we feed off of that. So you know, for all those guys that were out there today and gave us that support today, come back out tomorrow and, you know, give us even more.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If nothing else, you need to take the San Diego Padres seriously now. And I'm not sure they're done. Did you hear the voice of Manny Machado, the Padres radio network, and the opt-in or opt-out, I guess. The option is probably what I should have said. That wasn't even coming up until the end of this current season, this coming season, the 2023 season. And still, the Padres decided to go ahead and take care of this. So it's done. There are no more opt-outs for Manny Machado. An 11-year extension, which is weird because he hadn't even gotten to the midway point of his last deal. But this is how serious the Padres are. This is what they want you to know. They're not leaving anything to chance. 11 years, $350 million contract extension, which is commensurate with what the best have gotten in this latest cycle, right? Over the, gosh, the past few months, we've seen a bunch more of these $300 million contracts getting handed out. And so because of that, because of the numbers from Machado last year, over 100 RBI, that was critical, just shy of 300 batting average. The Padres wanted to make sure that there was absolutely no chance of him leaving. But even beyond that, that the commitment to winning was clear. That the commitment to making sure they have a stacked lineup, not to mention the pitching, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, the extensions there. They still have to deal with the Juan Soto, of course, but what they've paid now, Machado and Fernando Tatis, this is a team that is not only sending a message internally, and I don't think messages externally matter. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think most teams really care what message it sends to their opponents, but it matters that they're going down this road of taking care of their business before it's necessary. They're not waiting till the last second, because it tells the rest of the roster, it lets the fan base know that they're pursuing what eluded them last season. They got to the NLCS. It was the first time in a long time for the Padres being a contender. The electric atmosphere in San Diego. All of these factors. They want to make sure that they can build on it, that they can go a step farther and a step farther than that. And so if it requires eye-popping contracts, well, so be it. No, Machado's still not in the top three. So there's that. Aaron Judge got the $360 million contract with the Yankees this offseason. Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, they're still 1 and 2. So Aaron Judge, Machado falls in line in terms of total money, $350 million for these next 11 years. And this is likely now going to be the last place he plays. And maybe it would have been anyway. All things being equal, maybe it was. But there's no opt-out in the new contract. Then it's Francisco Lindor, Fernando Tatis, also of the Padres, Rafael Devers, Bryce Harper, Giancarlo Stanton. Man, that deal's old. It goes back to 2015. It's funny because most of the rest of these, not Bryce Harper, his is from 2019, but most of the rest of these deals are from 21, 22. Mike Trout's obviously goes back to 19. And then you've got the OG of the $300 million contracts, Giancarlo Stanton from 2015 to 27. So yeah, the Padres taking care of business before they have to me, speaks volumes. And Bob Melvin engineered their run to the NLCS last fall.
So I came in, you know, new last year too, and there are certain veteran guys that you need to lead on, you know, that leadership guys, whether you need to take some other things to players, whether you need to, you know, pick their brain over things, and Manny's been that guy for me. So I think, you know, watching his career from the other side, from where he started to where he is right now, it's a major change and a credit to him and understanding where he is as a player and, you know, what he means to the city of San Diego and what he means to the clubhouse. So he's about as important, you know, part of this thing for me as anybody here.
Interesting soundbite, too, from Nolan Arenado. Nolan, I say it like different, like every third time I say it. Arenado. I should know this because it's an Hispanic name. So Nolan Arenado, there we go. That's how I should be saying it. I should remember this too, because when I went to Ecuador going, I don't know, back maybe 10, 15 years, I was doing soccer camps with kids up in the Andes Mountains, and most of them had no English at all. And so in the Spanish language, they can't say the long A. Most of them don't say Amy. So the way that they would scream my name is they were running down the mountain to play soccer after their siesta, lunchtime siesta. Amy! Amy! So yes, it should be Arenado, not Arenado. Anyway, that's just me. Sorry to take that tangent. But yeah, so the interesting question for Nolan, I don't know who asked it, but I do think it's interesting. On SiriusXM MLB Network Radio, he opts in to his contract through 2027. Could have opted out, could have had more money, certainly would have had some leverage with the St. Louis Cardinals. Instead, he's sitting on these last 5 years at $144 million, nowhere near what the top guys are getting. But also, he doesn't seem to care. I like this perspective. It's different than what we hear from most in baseball.
I wouldn't say regrets. I mean, I think, you know, I love being here. I came here. I got traded here. I wanted to stay here. You know, I think I know the whole situation kind of makes me look kind of bad. But, you know, at the end of the day, Manny deserves it. He's a great player, and he deserves to get paid a lot of money. And I love being here, and I make more than enough money, more than I deserve, so I'll be all right.
That's so refreshing. Again, I don't begrudge people who go after the money. Your career is limited, number one. Number two, the owners are making money hand over fist. So I have no issue with the athletes getting a bigger piece of the pie. every now and then I get a little bit of over the fact that guys may go to a different place or they may take a bigger contract because that's what's expected of them or that's what the union is asking of them. You go where you're getting the most money because it advances the contracts for everyone. Mm-hmm. We see that with quarterbacks too, but the MLB Players Union is the most powerful in sports. Mm-hmm. And very often it doesn't really matter what the player wants. You hear this sometimes. Player may want to stay put. He may want to take a deal that's offered, but the agents and the union are pushing them to get the biggest deal and the most money so that you can keep advancing. I've heard this from guys who have graduated or who've left Major League Baseball, that's asked of you so that you leave the players union in a better place than it was when you got there, even if it's not necessarily what you want. So yeah, there probably are people who don't love what Nolan did, meaning the union, maybe agents, and yet he chose to do what makes him happy. I wanted to be in St. Louis. I'm happy in St. Louis. I've got more money than I deserve. When was the last time you heard that from an athlete?
Well, I mean, yeah, you're not going to hear that stuff that often. You're not going to hear it from anybody, never mind an athlete. I mean, nobody is ever satisfied if they think that they can make more money. They're always going to look for more. So it's rare. I hear you, and it is true that they do push the athletes. Bottom line, though, you do have the choice. So as much as you're going to get pushback, you're going to get it, and you're going to feel it. But if you want to stay somewhere, a la like a Jose Ramirez, you may take more, you may take less money, but if you want to be somewhere, you can do that. That is your choice.
It is, but very often players won't push back against some of these Uber agents.
Again, I mean, I get it because there's a lot of pressure.
Scott
and the rest
Boris.
Of the yeah, there's also your teammates and other people around the league that are like, hey, man, you're going to mess it up for the rest of people. So I get it. I understand that there is pressure. Bottom line, it's still your life and it's still where you want to be. So you can take less if you'd like. Now, I also, it's nice and that's great. And I'm happy that the guys and look, when you find the right spot, I don't care what it is, whether you're athlete or player, you find the right spot and you're happy.
Yes.
Don't go chasing happier because you're happy. You don't. That's it. Happy is what you're looking to attain. Don't look for happier because chances are you're not going to find it. You're not going to get what you think you've already got right now. So that's great, but I don't begrudge the player when they chase the extra dollar simply because, I mean, hey, and we also don't know. Like, you know, we think you're happy where you are. I don't know what you do when you're not on the field.
Well,
and when
it's certainly
you're on the
life nice
and
when it lines up perfectly where you're happy in New York, Aaron Judge, and you get the money.
Right, and that's what I mean. Like, if you want to be in a spot, I mean, who's to say? I mean, Judge says that he turned down more money from somewhere else. I mean, that's possible. We don't know that. We didn't hear it, so we just assumed that the Yankees are the best. Maybe he did take a little less money. Maybe he took this much less as opposed to a lot less, like, you know, maybe Arenado did or maybe Jose Ramirez did. So, like, again, it's still your choice and what you want to do, and nobody should tell you where you want to live. So you got to get the money you can get, but you also have to keep it in perspective of where you want to be, because I think sometimes, and you get an athlete that looks and goes, you know what, I don't care where I am. You pay me, I'll go. And that's fine. I mean, that's everybody's prerogative. There are a lot of people that I know in my life. You pay me, I'll drive to wherever. I'll move to wherever. It doesn't matter. I don't need to be here. I need to get paid to live the life I want to live. Okay.
So the ones that aren't following that pattern then stand out. And this is one that, you know, for Nolan, he's willing to say it. I'm okay with it. But also last year, Devontae Adams, he wanted so badly to play for the Raiders. That was what he said was a lifelong dream, not to mention he wanted to play with Derek Carr. We know the Packers offered him more money to stay in Green Bay, but what he mostly wanted was to go play with the Raiders. So he did what he wanted, not what was best for the union necessarily.
And again, look, as much as you do have somewhat of a responsibility to the union and to your fellow players, like, you shouldn't take 40 cents on the dollar because you do hurt the rest of the people that are, you know, your brotherhood bottom. Bottom line, it's still you, right? So if you want to take 85 cents on that dollar because you want to go home or you want to go where you want to live or you like
you
this
play
place
with your BFF?
Well, I mean, whatever it is, or your family life is more important to you than being here, being there, being further away, or, you know, I don't want to do the Mike Hampton, the school system is the reason why I went to Colorado. No, it isn't because you got paid. So, like, there are times where it's like, you know, your family comes first. So in that regard, then so be it. If you want to take a little bit less to be happy where you are, that's your prerogative, and nobody should kind of take a shot on that. I also can't take a shot on when you say, you know what, I'm taking every dollar, and I'm going to the tax-free state because that'll give me more dollars. So be it. If that's where you want to live and you want to play, go ahead.
I like the story. I like the fact that it's rare, and yet there are guys who are happy and just want to stay put where they are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on our Facebook page or on our show Twitter. You can weigh in if you want to give us the top QB options. We rank things in sports. And so right now we don't know if Rodgers is available, but we know a few other guys that are. So where would you place the most value while we're talking about that? 855-212-4227. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I love your show, and you keep me up all damn night.
I've been working the late night shift, driving home every single night. Listening to you has definitely made it easier to get home every single night, so thank you.
I really like your show. It's great for
thank
single
you.
Male insomniac.
Back on the night shift, I'm glad I get to listen to your show. It's awesome. Appreciate you taking my call. I want to say thank you for giving insomnia patients hope. I think you're exciting. I listen to you every night. I appreciate it. You are a godsend to us.
I'm giving you a night call. Tell you how I feel.
Amy's taking your calls at 855-212-4CBS.
Let's talk to Mike, who's in Fort Lauderdale. Mike, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy Lawrence. I want to tell you this is a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for a while, and I'm on a night shift, so I get to listen to you. And you normally got intelligent things to say, so I want to thank you for that.
Normally. It's good to know. It's a ringing endorsement there. Thank you.
Hey, normally, yeah. Well, you know, you talk to somebody, I consider myself to have one of the best football minds in the country. So, You know, normally you're always on target. But you mentioned Davante Adams, and I got to tell you, him going to play in the Raiders, I really thought that was going to do something. But it really, I felt like Derek Carr took a step back. I don't know what happened, but they were very disappointing to me this year.
I definitely wasn't on Devontae. I mean, Devontae is still the same Davante Adams that he's always been. And I don't know that it's necessarily on Derek Carr either. Now, he didn't play well, obviously, but I feel like if you are one of the best football minds in the country, if you are a football mind, as you say, then you would recognize that this is an all-new system, and they also had guys in and out of the lineup, too. So Darren Waller, supposed to be one of the best tight ends in the NFL, and yet not able to be out there the entire time. We've seen that a couple of times in his career so far, even though he's young. Just a lot of moving pieces. Yeah. I mean, Josh Jacobs was great this year. I know that they wanted to utilize him more, and to me, it's a lot about nonstop changing around Derek Carr and nonstop changing with that franchise, whether it be because of injuries or whether it be because of the fact that, you know, they're once again looking at a new system and new voices and new ideas.
Yeah, that sounds good. I wasn't aware that he missed a lot of games. I watch a lot of games, but I didn't realize the tight end missed that many games.
I'll go back.
Young, like you said.
Okay.
I thought he played a lot of games.
Yeah.
Even Devontae's numbers, weren't they down a lot this year as far as catches and yards and stuff?
100 catches and 1,500 yards. You tell me.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. I'm telling you that Derek Carr and Davante Adams had a great connection. He also had 14 touchdowns. He wasn't tops
all
in the league.
All right, I gotta give you your props. When you're right, you're right. I watch games a lot. I don't always check into stats. I just look at how I felt about it. But if he had stats like that, you're right. He did have a real good year. I consider anytime you get 100 catches is a had some serious wide receiver work. I mean, I would have thought he had maybe 80 myself if I was thinking about it, but all right.
Yeah, he was third behind Justin Jefferson and Tyreek Hill this year in terms of yardage. And then, you think about the 14 touchdowns. And again, I know the offense, Derek Carr's numbers were rough in this first year with Josh McDaniels, but I don't think that we're talking about a Derek Carr who all of a sudden dropped off the map. And he and Devontae, they do have a special connection. They were playing together going back to college, and it was productive. I mean, Devontae led the league in touchdown receptions. Right, so we're not talking about total touchdowns here, but we're talking about a guy who was in the top 10 in every category.
Yeah, I didn't realize he had that kind of year. But you mentioned my guy. Now, when you mentioned Tyreek Hill, I got to tell you something. You mentioned him. You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. I want Aaron down here with us. I think he would light up the stadium if he come down here and quarterback for us.
So you're done with Tua?
Well, no, I'm just worried about Tua because if he falls down, all of a sudden you don't know where he's going. I feel bad for him, man. You know, it's not like I'm done with him. I like him, but you know, football, you got to be on a field.
I got you.
On the field, what are you going to do? And Aaron's available, and I just don't know if we can pay him, but I'd love to get him down here and throw to our wide receivers because we got some serious wide receivers, and our young tight end's pretty good, too. We pick up a fat lineman in an offense, then we'd be real good, you know?
Fat lineman.
All right. You know,
I got you. I don't think that's happening. I hate to burst your bubble there, but I don't think that's happening. But I do appreciate your phone call in Fort Lauderdale. Thanks for listening in Miami. Glad to have you call for the first time. I don't think I have time to get to it right this second, but I do want to look at the Darren Waller numbers just so I can figure out exactly how many games he played. I mean, he's a guy who's been banged up, who has missed some time. But honestly, it's not just him. It was a bit of a revolving door, and it was that way for Derek Carr throughout his tenure with the Raiders. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.